The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what's going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 380. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, 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 how am I sounding?
Yeah, sounding good, man. Looking good, too. Viva Peru is back. All right, we got Brett Murdoch in the house.
What's up? Hey, party people.
There he is. Yeah, he said And, of course, Mr. Brian Mangioma.
What up?
Brian, should I just start calling you Sir Brian Mangioma? It sounds more British that way.
If you want. I'm not going to stop you.
Yeah. Plus, it sounds like boss level shit right there. Yes, yeah, sir. That's fucking right, man. Every time somebody calls me Sir or Mr., I'm like, that's fucking right, man.
You damn right.
You know? Respect.
That's right.
Yeah. By the way, we don't know what's going on with Adam. Maybe there's another WrestleMania going on right now. We don't know.
WrestleMania 5,000.
I was talking to a friend a couple weeks ago, and he was doing, this is like 20 years ago or something, he was doing an interview trying to go to the WWF, right? Like, you know, the internship or whatever. Not a wrestler, just behind the scenes. And he's like, yeah, Vince McMahon, he acts like that. Like, hey, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, pal?
Yeah, because he had to meet with Vince McMahon one-on-one, and he's like, yeah, he acts like that in real life.
Oh, you want to work at my company, huh? First, I'm going to get you into a nice headlock here to make sure you can handle it.
Get him. Get that son of a bitch. Oh, man. All right, man. Hope everybody is doing good. Another Thursday. This week kind of went by fast, which is funny because nothing happened in gaming. This is one of those fuck it shows. We're just going to ramble on a bunch of stuff. Some little things happen here and there, but not nothing. No megatons. Nobody got bought. No allegations were thrown around, no sales figures, none of this stuff, you know, just,
no wrestle figures.
Like, yo, you should see what I got in front of me. When he said that shit, I was fucking dead. Oh, you don't know. Oh man.
Didn't Sony lose a shit ton of money in Epic?
Yeah, yeah, we'll talk about that. But I mean, if you got a good take on it, I hope you got it. Cause I'm like, oh, whatever. But all right, let me stop. I was just thinking about Adam's kids. Imagine him coming in the room. Dad, can I play with that? No, we don't play with these. They just looking like, you know, like a dog looking at head when you got food. He's just like, Daddy, I want to play with the toys. No, they're not for playing.
I say
that because that's the way I am with, you know, my niece and nephew come over. They look at my shit. I got like, Tony, can I play? Nope. They're not for playing. They're for looking.
Well, see, here's the thing. Like, my nephew or his son, he knows. Like, he knows what the difference is, you know. So, you teach him early, man. Teach him early.
Oh, they know now. But in the early days, they were like, can I play? Nope. They're just for looking. You can look at them all day, every day. You don't touch, you know. That's not what we do around here.
Did they break the law?
Nah, well, you know, kids always try something, you know.
Trying to pull a fast one. I see you.
Yeah, like I said, what's that over there? How that don't look like it was where it's supposed to be, man. All right, man. What's going on to Mighty Nerd, Cade Antonio, Barry Byrne? I'm pretty sure he's lurking around there somewhere. One subset was going on, brother. All right, man. So we're getting to it again. We're just gonna go down the line here because not a lot happened. So Brian, man, what's going on with The Witcher, man?
Lots of interesting things. From what I read, it's not pure doom and gloom. It seems like The Witcher was outsourced to a third company, so not CD Projekt Red. I think it was, they did a game. I think it was like Jaegers something, if I'm not mistaken.
It was, I'll look it up, but it's the company that ported The Witcher 3. By the way, we're talking about Witcher 3, no next gen for the moment. But yeah, they did Saber Interactive, Brian. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically they were tasked to do the enhanced edition or the next-gen port, and then things were just not going as fast as CD Projekt Red wanted. So they decided, they literally did a Thanos and said, fuck it, I'll do it myself.
Yeah.
And
that's a Bill O'Reilly, you mean?
No, Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I'll read it myself. Live. Remember that? He was like, I'll read it.
He's like, we're doing it live. That's Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Now, fine, I'll do it myself is Thanos.
Interesting. All right. Anyway, go on, Brian.
Again, as far as I know, that's all there is. I don't know of anything more. After I seen that, I was like, okay, so it's just in-house now. Okay, cool.
Yeah. The way I see it, good. I'd rather have the guys who actually made the game do it, you know, which is fine. And again, what else have they got going on?
Well, I mean, they got to get that stuff out there, man. They got to make that cash flow because Cyberpunk is probably not doing it.
Yeah, I wonder how much Cyberpunk has sold after the fact, because obviously when it came out, it was like 15 million copies, something ridiculous. But, you know, yeah, I mean, they said indefinitely, so maybe the latter half of the year, maybe early next year, who knows. But the way I see it, if it's CD Projekt Red working on it directly, I think that's a good thing, you know? Like, instead of having a cover band, you do have the real band do it. You know, sometimes the real band is not as good as the cover band, but that's a whole other story, you know? I don't think everybody in here who wanted to play Witcher 3 probably already played it, so does anyone care about this? Yeah, that's the way I feel. I kind of missed that boat, you know, Witcher 3.
Didn't you say you were going to play it at some point because of something?
Yeah. Oh, I did say I would actually play this version when it came out. But I guess that's on hold, you know? Because that could actually be a good piece. See, I'm already thinking about work. Like, first time Witcher 3 player. How do I feel about this game 10 years after it came out? Wherever the fuck it came out. Do some real math here. 7 years after it came out, because it was 2015, wasn't it? I'm going to answer yes. Yeah. 18 million for Cyberpunk? God damn. That's Call of Duty numbers right there. Imagine how much more it could have sold if it wasn't fucked up. Because Witcher sold like crazy numbers. Wasn't it like 50 million copies? Maybe more than that? Like, it was a lot. You know? So, yeah. Well, again, we don't know when this is going to go down, but that's good. Oh, by the way, again, apologies. No Chiron. Actually, we'll try to figure out what's going on.
Oh.
Yeah, man. Like ever since this new OBS update, Chiron's like, I don't feel like working anymore. I'm good. You know, it's like, really, bro?
Yeah, I got back, and then I got a notification for an update, and I'm like, nah, I think I'm going to chill for this time.
Yeah, that's probably for the best, because this shit is all fucked up right now, you know? I wish OBS update as frequently as Discord. Discord, you can check that shit updates like every other day, you know?
Every day, maybe.
Yeah, crazy. All day, man. All right, let's move on here. So this is a very weird story. So Sony and Lego, or at least the company that owns Lego, they invested $2 billion into Epic Games to help build the metaverse.
I don't understand this one.
Like, what does this mean exactly? I like it. I'm reading this off a PC Gamer. The strap line says, we're still not perfectly clear on what the metaverse is, but it sure attracts money. Yeah, right? Like, okay, what does this mean exactly? You know what? I'll read the bullshit PR thing and we'll try to parse it. As a creative entertainment company, we are thrilled to invest in Epic to deepen our relationship with the metaverse field, a space where creators and users share their time. Sony Group Corporation Chairman, President, and CEO Kenichiro Yoshida said, we are also confident that Epic's expertise, including their powerful game engine, combined with Sony's technologies, will accelerate our various efforts, such as the development of a new digital fan experiences in sports and our virtual production initiatives. All right, let's try to fucking translate this shit. Because, okay, again, what does metaverse field mean? What does that mean exactly?
It's just,
Isn't that just VR fucking interactions, like creating whatever Facebook's doing, just as VR spaces.
Okay. Yeah, everyone has their interpretation of what the metaverse is. The metaverse can be anything from PlayStation Home to, something. Yo, man, it's Niles. It can be like PlayStation Home. It can be anything. It can be an augmented reality in your phones. And it's not really a defined thing. It's just interacting with the digital space and having different types of interactions with it, and it's like when the internet came out, and it's like, oh, what can we do with the internet? It is the, we have websites, we have blogs, we have all this stuff. Oh, now we can do videos. And that's kind of like the stage where they're at right now. They're trying to figure out what they can do in order to entice a new sort of platform for people to, I guess, to experience. And it's really, really ambiguous. It's not really a set thing. I mean, Facebook did, or Meta, or whatever they're called now.
Yeah, Meta.
They did a presentation of sort of what their interpretation is of the metaverse. And that's Meta's interpretation. But it's not one for one going to be the same thing as, for example, Epic's interpretation of what that is. It's a loose term that can mean so many things, and it's always up for interpretation to the person that's creating that certain field. So
that's frustrating. You can understand why that's frustrating, right?
Oh yeah,
because it's like
they're using. Yeah.
So okay, it's a buzzword with no real substance.
That's what it sounds like to me. Exactly. It's like, what is the, again, no one can define what it is. You have five people, you ask them, and I'm talking about professional people in this field, ask them, what is the metaverse? You're going to get five different answers from people who are investing into this stuff.
Well, now here's my question. Does Facebook not own the rights to the metaverse? Because they're selling plots of real estate in the metaverse. So I'm not sure if they have the rights to the name Metaverse and we're just using this as a shorthand for a virtual world that they're building, or if we're actually talking about the Metaverse that Facebook owns, that they're taking upwards of 50% profits on every single sale that takes place in there. Like, it's a very different thing.
No. Yeah, but here's the thing, and Carlos, again, up for interpretation, right? I kind of see Metaverse as like the cloud. You know what I'm saying? It's not something that somebody owns per se.
But that's the thing. It's not up to your interpretation. It's up to like trademark and copyright law.
Yeah, but I'm saying
this is a gray area. This is something we can find out.
But that's my point though. What Carlos just said, that's the problem. It's all gray area, and that's why it's annoying. You know?
It can't legally all be gray area. Somebody owns the name Metaverse.
Do we know that for a fact?
Yes.
Okay, who?
Facebook does not own Metaverse. They're called Meta.
Okay, I'm going to look up to see if Metaverse is trademarked.
I'm not sure it is. Yeah.
It's like saying it's the same as saying someone trademarked the internet.
Yeah.
No, it sounds like somebody trademarked Kleenex, and you're like, is it Kleenex or tissues?
No, but Kleenex is a specific thing that does a specific function, and it's almost a singular function that it does. The internet is ambiguous. Is it HTTP, HTTPS, is it FTP? Is it, there's a whole bunch of uses for the internet and the metaverse, there's not one metaverse. It's just a keyword. I can make my own server where people are able to trade, Bitcoin or a cryptocurrency, or have an NFT, and I can call that the metaverse, and just put a UI on it. It's the same. It's just
a buzzword. Metaverse is trademarked by Steve Jackson Games Incorporated, registration number 2093945.
Who owns it?
Yeah, but people are not going to be advertising their things as the metaverse. It's just like saying we're playing football, but the NFL is the main thing. No, but we're still playing football. You know, but we're not calling it the football.
But in terms of this, are they investing in the company metaverse or are they investing in the field metaverse?
The field.
Okay.
The field.
All right.
Yeah. It's just a buzzword, like Tony says, that can mean anything. It's up for interpretation for anything.
Well, that's why I said Kleenex tissue, because like when people say Kleenex, they mean tissue, and the people use it interchangeably until it comes down to like copyright law, and they'll be like, "Well, can you advertise a Kleenex?" No, you can advertise a tissue.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. They're or like this, in this or like instance, Q-tip. It's just metaverse is the tissue. You know,
like or like the word Q-tip, or you know, like
Q-tip. We use placeholder words a lot. I was just curious, where in this realm it landed. So, yeah, we're just talking about the space. So here's my question then. If it's not the company that they're investing in, right, they're just investing in Epic Games division that's making stuff in the metaverse, like What's the tit for tat here? Like, okay, so they gave Epic Games millions of dollars, and Epic Games gives them what?
Well, to be honest, I don't even think they know. they're just investing to this thing in the hope that it'll make them money, because it's like the buzzword.
Give people money to advance a field.
That's what it doesn't have. I know. Well, that's how stupid it sounds. That's how billions, by the way, billions. You know,
they're not buying something. They're investing.
Yeah, they're investing.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. What was Epic Games' pitch to Sony and Lego, where they're like, here's $2 billion? What was it that they were proposing? I mean, it's like a bigger Fortnite? Like, is that a metaverse? So what is it that they're going to make?
Did they get shares? Them? Exclusivity?
Yeah, right? That's
what?
Like, nobody invests with no return on investment, right? What are they getting?
Exactly. Again, it just seems like a bunch of crazy people just investing shit without knowing what the hell they're getting into.
No, see, and that's the part that I find suspicious. Like Chris said, nobody invests for no reason, which means they got something, but they didn't tell us what they got, right? So, like, there's a hole here in the shape of what did they get, and they're just kind of dancing around it. Like, I think sometimes what you're not told is almost as revealing as what you are told. And the fact that we're not told what they're getting for how much money, I think is important information, because they're getting something: shares in the company, exclusivity rights. This could be them trying to build a future relationship, but they just don't come in here and be like, hey, we'd like to give you money to advance a field of technology that both me and my competitor work in. Like, nah, man, and they got something, and it's weird that we're not told what. We're just told we gave them a bunch of money. Okay.
Yeah. This whole thing is just weird, dude. Whole thing is just weird. I don't fucking get it.
I bet you this. To me, this points to an unannounced PlayStation Metaverse project.
Probably is. You know, I mean, you kind of have to tie this in with the whole Bungie acquisition, right? What do they want? They want these big multiplayer games, Metaverse type of games. You know, again, like, since it's frustratingly up to interpretation, you consider Fortnite a type of Metaverse. All the shit that happens in there. You know, so it could be that Sony's investing.
Really?
You could see it that way. By the way, Brett, I am not advocating for that. I'm just saying you can see it that way. You know,
no, because I thought Metaverse was at least understood to be a shared virtual world.
Yeah, and it kind of is like you have literally every property on Earth in fucking Fortnite right now. You have concerts in Fortnite, you know? So
yeah.
In a way, you could kind of see it that way. It is a Metaverse of a sort, you know?
But here's the thing. I think for Metaverse, at least, what they're trying to do is kind of a Ready Player One kind of situation where you kind of move from – well, and that because Fortnite is insulated and secular, I don't know that that would necessarily count under those qualifications.
Yeah, well, again, the Metaverse, you know, again, because we don't know what the fuck this is. It doesn't have to be that it has to be available for everything. It's just like, hey, here's this – one world, and it's fucking huge, and you could live in it. By the way, doesn't that sound familiar?
Yeah, like,
doesn't that sound familiar?
Yeah, it's the dream that we've wanted, packaged by the devil himself. Like, it's the irony is fucking palpable, man.
Yeah,
but like,
it sounds like a second something. Forget the name
second
of it.
Life.
No, it's obviously
like a second
life.
Existence.
No, yeah, this
or
is second
life.
Again, this is what's so fucking bullshit about this. People are acting like this is all new. No, it's not. Second life. Even PlayStation Home. We've had this before. You know,
the creator of Second Life is pissed.
I would be too.
Yeah, he's basically like, so I pioneered this whole thing, and like now these assholes are going to. I think he's suing or trying to. Or
yeah, good
if
luck.
If I heard correctly.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, but these are the guys that made PlayStation Home, so I would guess more it's they're going to pitch into some sort of, we're going to connect PlayStation Home to the Metaverse using VR. And everyone's going to go, okay, we thought this was going to be something we cared about.
Man, I don't know, bro. Hey, but if they bring back Home, you're going to get a Hip Hop Gamer's belt, right?
Dude, I virtually guarantee you they're probably going to launch into some sort of PlayStation Home 2.0 kind of thing.
I could see that. And again, remember, we already announced PSVR 2, right?
Yeah,
so there
yeah.
you go.
And then it's going. I virtually guarantee you, they're going
virtually
to
guarantee.
Yeah,
Brett.
I'm glad you caught that. They're going to hype it, and they're going to use the buzzword integrated.
Oh God, my head hurts because I know you're right.
Tony, your head's gonna keep hurting because you're a tech writer now, so you'll be talking about you're gonna know about this stuff more than we do.
Unfortunately, I already know too much more about this shit than I want to. Especially that VR stuff. Like, oh god, you know. I'll tell you off here.
But it'll be an integrated user experience, Tony.
It's my god. It's literally gonna be called that. It is literally going to be called that integrated user experience. Watch. Timestamp this motherfucker. Please.
I borrowed Carlos Crystal Ball for a minute.
Yeah. Hey, Miss Cleo, we going to Golden Crust.
I'm sorry, I wanted to see how it worked.
Golden Crust.
Looks pretty cool.
Yeah, man. Oh, my God. So, again, I don't know. Every time I talk about the metaverse, I feel like a fucking old man. Like, oh, what is this thing? Well, I don't understand it. But it's like,
that's because. Where is this?
But again,
you ready for this? It's because you're literally an old man yelling at cloud.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Oh, the cloud. You're right. You know, you got to change the picture to have it like the cloud will be some kind of digital shit. You know, but no, just the fact that everybody on this panel can't properly explain the fuck the metaverse is lets me know I'm not the only crazy one.
We live in a world where some people have so much money, they're just investing in NFTs. Like, yeah. half-baked bullshit ideas. Like, oh, so what's this for? I don't know. It seemed valuable, so I wanted it.
Okay.
So the metaverse is the same. The thing that baffles me is that this is going to be one of those things where it's a dumb idea that so many people get on board with, and then it's too big to fail. And I think we're pretty much already at this point.
Oh, my God. But you see why I had that thought. That I was like, oh, it's just a bunch of idiots investing stuff. Because you already literally see that happening.
Nobody asked for this, and nobody wants it, and nobody even has the tools to access it. They're just like, ah, this is going to be a thing. Why? Because we poured billions of dollars into it, and we say so. I mean, I guess? Guess what? I maybe hammer down VR a little bit more before. No, you just want to amalgamate everything. And that really upsets me because I always loved that idea. I think I've talked about it on the podcast. That podcast and I are both that old. That, like, it would be cool to be able to move from one experience to the other fairly seamlessly, but not the way that they're doing it, man. Like, the way they're doing it is the most predatory, exploitative thing I think I've ever fucking seen.
Yeah, oh no, it absolutely is. Did you hear the story? And I'm gonna butcher the fuck out of this, but basically there was this gaming company, I'm using air quotes here, right? That was selling NFTs, and for 6 days people were stealing money off of this shit. Nobody knew, right? And then when they found out, guess what? It was like $600 million invested. All that shit was gone. Everybody invested in it. They lost all that fucking money. And you know what they could do about it? Dick. They can't do shit about it, you know? So it's like, yeah, go ahead. Keep investing in this stuff. See what happens, you know?
Because it's business without contracts. What the fuck do you think is going to happen?
It's fucking incredible. And again, all this is, and not to get too deep, this is all born out of fucking greed and the need to make a quick buck, you know? It's like, guys.
Even as a preempter of that, this is born of exclusivity. This is the real gatekeeping bullshit. Like, some people just have so much money, they want to buy things because they think they're better than other people have. Rich people will buy things just because they're expensive and they know other people can't afford them.
Yeah.
It's a weird, weird mindset. And that's the shit that spawned the NFTs. The fact that you will pay $60,000 for a picture of a monkey because somebody who works at the coffee shop couldn't do the same thing, and now you own a picture of a monkey that he couldn't have. Like, that's really the root of all of this. I can get over yourself. Nobody cares about your stupid fucking monkey picture.
Oh, but you hear about that? The guy had his monkey stolen. He was obsessed. They stole my apes.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, that guy I don't blame because he was grifting people left and right with that shit. He was making somebody stole my fake Rolex watches. Well, yeah, I mean, you could not be set because they're fake Rolexes, but you were going to make a mint off that shit at the airport.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, man. All for a quick buck, you know. And by the way, and I got to show you this report because I didn't realize this. A lot of the people who invest in NFTs or a good chunk are from like really poor countries and shit, investing their entire life savings on the hope that they'll get rich. You know, it's sad, man. This is super exploitative, you know.
Yeah, well, it's an unsupervised pyramid scheme.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know. Not to make this about NFTs, but we have to just go there. My thing is, I don't have a problem with the technology. I have a problem with the way people are using it, because it's a fucking grift. You know, people are just using this on the you know, it's like, oh, how do I make a quick buck? They're not going, oh, how is this going to be good for humanity? What can this do? You know, it's like, how can I make money? How can I exploit people? You know, this motherfucker selling you snake oil, basically. It's the same shit.
Dude, half of our economy is snake oil. High fashion, fine art, fucking lifestyle brands. I read an article today about somebody that critiques people's online dating profiles for high-end rich people, and their services go between $30,000 and $50,000 per client. Jesus, I'm like, you know what?
Christ.
I am in the wrong line of work, right? Like, the line between, like, grifting somebody and catering to people with high-end exclusive tastes is so fuzzy. I don't even know where one begins and the other ends, because, like I said, some people will pay for a $200 haircut just because it costs $200. I've seen it happen with tattoos. I've seen people go to mediocre tattoo artists. Why? Because they had the balls to charge you $800 and you just assumed that meant it was better? Ah, fuck, man. Like, I don't even know how to get started in that racket. Otherwise, I would have been in it.
Yo, random thing.
Yo.
It happened in New York. This is super random, by the way. I just got triggered by something Brett said.
Oh,
triggered.
I was in Williamsburg. And I passed by a pretty big tattoo shop in a pretty good location. There's three guys outside. They look like they work there. All three of them look like Brett. I'm not joking. All three of them.
The funny thing is, Brett, remember when you were in New York? I'm like, dude, you look like you fit in here. The way you dress and shit and all the tattoos all over you. I'm like, you literally look like you came from Brooklyn. I told you that, you know? It's hilarious. All right, man, let's move on. No more NFT bullshit. Okay, so still sticking on Sony here. So apparently Sony has about $10 billion to spend on acquisitions. So I don't know who dug this shit up, but, you know, because that's all we're talking about now. Who's buying who? Who's buying who?
Is this earmarked money, or is this money that they could – like, I'm curious where this money came out. Is this money that is put aside in their fiscal budget for acquisitions and expansion of intellectual property? Or is this somebody running the numbers and be like, okay, if they spent all of their money this year, that's how much money they could spend.
Okay, check this out. So this is what it says. According to numbers shared by Tweaktown, Sony previously allocated $17.4 billion for quote-unquote strategic investment acquisitions and buyouts and share purchases. Following Sony's new third quarter financial results, we now know that about $7.4 billion has been spent. That leaves the company with about $10 billion in funds specifically allocated to use for acquisitions. So, yeah,
okay.
This is legit.
That's my question. Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Is $10 billion, I mean, it's a lot of money, but is it a lot of money?
It's not Microsoft money, if that's what you're getting at, you know, but it's still a lot to buy a lot of smaller companies.
And
it's
enough to buy Bethesda.
It is. That's right.
No, I guess that's true. No, we could be talking about one of the bigger / biggest purchases with that amount of money.
Yeah.
That's interesting because I'm sure that has to come from investor numbers, I'm assuming. Like in invest, you know, it's coming from math is supplied to investors.
Yeah.
So I assume that they wouldn't give that information out to investors, you know, unnecessarily. Now, that doesn't mean that they have to spend that money.
No, they don't. That's just how much they have available, yeah.
Yeah, they could have been. I wonder if that was just like if they – I wonder if that's any of that is rolled over from last year. Like if they're annually rolling over that amount into, you know, we have this much allocated for possible acquisitions, or if they're strategically planning on spending that much, because – if it's the latter, that's kind of important.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, yeah, I'm looking at it. Yeah, this is all legit. This all comes directly from Sony. Interesting. Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, we're not going to sit here and speculate who they're going to buy all that other stuff, but it does show you Sony does have a good amount of money to buy a company. Again, they could have bought Bethesda with this kind of money, you know?
It also kind of shows you their priorities. It shows you that they're willing to play this We Buy Studios game.
And to play the game.
Time to play the game.
Time to play the game.
Shout out to Lucky Killmeister, man.
Oh yeah, and Triple H.
And Triple H, yeah.
He retired.
Yeah, I heard about that. So yeah, I don't really have anything much more to say about that. I thought the story was just interesting, you know. But so I guess very curious. Yeah, we'll probably see more acquisitions and stuff. That seems to be the thing now, you know.
So do you think this is gonna? Since we don't really have anything that we're doing super important, do you think this is going to spawn a culture of acquisitions? Like, for example, the way that the tech industry spouted a culture of startups just getting spawned and bought by larger corporations?
Well, that's kind of the assumption by a lot of gamers. They're like, all right, are we just going to gobble up every company? There's only going to be a couple left. I don't think it's going to go to that extreme.
Because what happens is, like startups, right? What happens is, since all the companies get acquired, the people who made those companies bail, make small startups, employ like 12 to 15 people tops, create a product or a product that's really just a prototype, and their end goal is not to go to market, but to get bought out by a larger company who will take their idea to market. It's become its own really weird ecosystem. So, like, I'm wondering if we think that might happen to video games, where people are just starting video game studios, hoping to get acquired by Microsoft, and then quit to make new video game studios.
Yeah.
All right, possible, but I think Microsoft needs to cool it, at least for a little while, because they made major acquisitions, like, back-to-back. And the last one triggered, the FTC, or was it the Department of Justice, whoever, to investigate the trade. So Microsoft has the money to keep absorbing studios, right? They could do like what Disney did. Disney just was buying up shit, like, hey, we'll buy Marvel, and right after that, oh, fuck it, we'll buy all of 20th Century Fox, all of it, right? They were just absorbing IPs. Let's buy LucasArts, Lucasfilms, the whole everything. Microsoft could easily do that in video games. They could just go, yeah, EA, we'll take it. But they can't, because they're going to trigger antitrust stuff. So in terms of that, like, it might be slow. Like, I don't know if it would trigger anything if Microsoft bought like a little indie studio. Like, hey, we'll buy this for a small amount of money. I don't know. So maybe to your point, like, yeah, if you started something like, hey, we have this great idea, Microsoft's like, we want that idea. You know, it could be just like a small, it's under an amount like several million, where it doesn't trigger any kind of like huge monopolistic red flags.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens, but I think this is going to be like it's going to be a trend now, you know. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Hey, Microsoft started this shit, man. They started something, you know, and everybody's just trying to blue box. Someone was buying that fucking studio, you know.
Yo, man, they're going to buy some blue boxes, but not no blue box studio.
Yeah. All right, man. Moving on here. Another Sony-related story. This one, the headline is kind of misleading because it's actually more important than it suggests. I'm getting this off of Game Industry Biz. The headline is Sony and Nintendo to update subscription guidelines. You're like, okay, whatever. I don't know what the fuck that means. When you read it, it's like, oh, okay. Why haven't they done this before? You know, basically, and I don't know if they were like forced to do this or whatever. Basically, let's just say you have a PlayStation Plus account or whatever, right? And you haven't logged on in years, right? Sony's just going to keep taking that money from you, you know, if you have auto subscription. Now, because of this in place, if you are on there for a certain amount of time and you haven't been using it, you'll instantly just get cut off, which is good. I'm like, I'm surprised that hasn't been a thing. But then again, I'm not surprised because companies want to keep taking that money from you, obviously.
Yeah, but many companies do that. Many companies, like, will just auto-renew you. It doesn't matter if you're engaged or not, like, if you're using their software, their cloud service, whatever, they'll just bill you over and over again. So that doesn't surprise me. And in fact, like, it's just residual income to them. So Nintendo has no impetus to go tell you, hey, you haven't been using Nintendo Switch Online, we're going to cut it off. No, of course not. They're just like, that's money. That's income to them. But, I mean, enough people must have complained, or some federal thing happens, like something triggered them to go, oh shit. All right.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah, like it says here, Sony has agreed to implement new measures for PS Plus subscribers, which includes contacting long-term customers that haven't used the service for a while to remind them how to cancel subscriptions. If users don't cancel the service but aren't actively using it, Sony will stop taking payments. Yeah, because again, you're right, Chris, like it's in Sony's favor to just keep taking your money without you knowing, you know?
Right.
This is how Netflix makes its fucking money. You know how much I've given Netflix years worth of money without using the fucking service, you know? It just happens. Yes. So, yeah, I guess that's a good thing. But the only thing I'm unclear is, like, who implemented this?
I don't know. I can
the
see.
The Competition and Markets Authority. What the fuck is that?
I don't know. Go ahead.
Regulatory body, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
See, I think they're probably just getting in front of it. Either they're expecting regulation to happen soon, or I can see this eventually becoming a sort of, I don't know, maybe a class action lawsuit. Like, if somebody could prove that somebody was, you know, billing for services they didn't know that they had. Because some of these practices are unscrupulous, and eventually somebody's going to fly too close to the sun, and this shit's going to come down their head. So I think it's a smart choice in the sense that that's going to keep you out of trouble in the future. Probably well done.
Yeah. It says, okay, so this Competition and Markets Authority is a UK thing, right? A UK entity. But yeah, they did an investigation into auto renewal practices, and Sony and Nintendo agreed. It's like, all right, we'll update our shit. So this isn't in America yet, you know. I don't know how it's going to fly over here, you know. Mm-hmm. But no, that's a good thing. Again, I'm like, it's like, okay, yeah, this should have been implemented, but at the same time, these companies have no incentive to tell you, you know, that you haven't been using the service. It's like, oh, yeah, it's free money, you know. So yeah, pretty interesting stuff. All right, the next one. This one I found today. This is a weird one. It's about Hideo Kojima and an Xbox project that he was working on, and that's apparently been canceled all of a sudden, but was apparently being worked on up until a couple of weeks ago, according to sources, right? And the rumor is that Sony may have bought Kojima Productions, like, officially, you know? Obviously, that's a rumor right there. But this Xbox game is a real thing, or was a real thing until it got canceled, you know?
They, I remember a while ago, Kojima saying that he had made a pitch for something and it was not approved.
Yeah.
So, and then he said that there was something else coming that he did get approved. So I'm guessing either Sony, so maybe Sony figured, you know, maybe we shouldn't let this motherfucker go.
Yeah. So yeah, this all comes to us from our boy, Mr. Jeff Grubb. Even though his track record could be a little spotty, at least he's a proper journalist. He's not a fucking YouTuber, you know. So yeah, apparently, he says as of a couple of weeks ago, the Xbox and Kojima deal was still on. And yeah, this was coming mainly from last year, apparently, where it said the reports were coming out, nothing official, that Kojima and Microsoft were in talks for something, you know. And it's not out of question, you know, Kojima has worked with Microsoft before, you know.
He has worked with Microsoft before, but, I guess, since Sony was going to drop him, he was like, you know what, I'll just go with these guys.
Yeah. So, again, the belief now is that, you know, PlayStation may have, or Sony, excuse me, may have bought Kojima Productions, but we don't want to jump to that conclusion just yet, you know. But if it does happen, we wouldn't be surprised either. Let's just be honest here. You know?
Yeah, just to kind of keep him in place.
Yeah, and again, Kojima likes working with Sony, you know, and Sony seems to just let him do what he does, at least now.
He likes to work with a previous incarnation of Sony. Those people that signed him up are gone.
Yeah, but if this is legit, I guess he still kind of has no problems working for them or being part of them, you know?
the thing with Kojima is that he's a big budget director.
Yeah.
And, you know, he started his studio. He got support from Sony. But, you know, Death Stranding, as well as it did, didn't sell like Elden Ring or anything like that. So I think Kojima, I'm pretty sure he's stuck sort of in a rock and a hard place where he's like, I want to make these great, you know, big budget, you know, experiences, but I don't have the funds. And that could be something that he could probably, you know, is enticing him to go with someone like a Sony that can guarantee all those funds.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. Because what other studio is going to, you know, or publisher is going to give him what he wants in that regard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sony's a
definitely not Konami.
Yeah. You know, so very interesting stuff. Like, obviously, this is just rumors and reports or whatever. So nothing concrete. Well,
and maybe I missed it, but did you talk about how if you go to the site, on the PlayStation, it was a PlayStation blog, one of those PlayStation sites, and it says first party studios
thing. That's right.
Sony or PlayStation Studios, and there's a picture of Death Stranding there.
Yeah, but here's Manny brought up something interesting. Go ahead.
Okay, so if you have a normal sized monitor, you can't actually see that Death Stranding there. So how do you know that wasn't already there?
You zoom out.
You really need to zoom out in order to see it.
Yeah.
So how do we know that it wasn't already there months ago? Well, you know, always there.
Could be. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I want to know what was it like? Because, again, it may have been a thing where no one noticed. Maybe it was always there.
Yeah.
obviously, we don't know if that's the case, but we're just saying the possibility exists, you know? So, but again,
oh man, that, with nerds around.
Yeah, you already know. But no, but because of that, that's another piece of public. Oh, shit, they bought them. They bought them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I keep an eye on it, but very interesting, you know? Maybe Kojima will make his movie under Sony Pictures, you know?
No. And you'll get a Tom Holland to be in it.
Yeah, right. I was thinking about that. I was like, yo, Sony, like, where'd you get all this money for acquisition? I'm like, oh yeah, Spider-Man.
Yeah, right.
You know, he made a lot of money off of that shit because Sony makes the lion's share of that fucking movie's profits. You know.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that. It's like, yeah, Sony's the one that makes the most bank from that. All right, man. Bob Hitz. Also, how much is Kojima Studio worth anyway? We have no idea, dude. No idea. Who knows?
Yeah. Not a billion.
Yeah. No, yeah, right. Who knows, bro? Who knows? But yeah, I don't think it's a billion. No way. No way. You know? Maybe if Death Stranding has sold a lot, maybe. But yeah, we doubt that for sure. All right, man. And the last thing we're going to talk about, and probably some other random stuff too, but this will probably take us a while to get through. We got to talk about Elden Ring in the New York Times, bro.
Oh, shit.
Brett, that reaction lets me know that you don't know what this is about. So,
no, I don't.
Ooh, get ready for this one. All right, so, it was yesterday. It feels like 50 years ago. Well, yesterday, New York Times published an article where they were confused why Elden Ring was so popular. They were flabbergasted by this. Like, this makes no sense. This is a niche genre. This thing should not have sold this many, right? The funny thing is, like, big-time gaming journalists were like, what the fuck is wrong with you? So many counter articles came. And here's the funny thing about these counter articles, right? They weren't like anybody with a Google account could have written them because they just listed all the reasons why the game was poised to be a success, right? Dark Souls had, those series have been on a trajectory, upward trajectory for 11 years, right? Dark Souls has sold 10 million, Sekiro sold 8 million. Elden Ring, for 2 years in a row at Jeff Keighley's award show, was nominated for most anticipated game, right? This is not a surprise. I will give you, it's surprising how much it sold so fast, but the game was guaranteed to be a success. Guaranteed. And you throw Jar Jar Martin on top of it? Come on now, you know? So this just casts the light on how, like, out of touch journalists are. But Brett, it gets better. It gets better. If it was just what was written in there, that would have been enough, right? No. It got it. This showed you, and this is the first time I've actually used this term unironically. This was complete boomer energy. Like, holy shit. Okay, they used screenshots. Yeah, they had screenshots and footage of the game, right? They didn't use an Elgato. They didn't use PlayStation 5 SharePlay. None of that. You know, shit, that's really, you know what they use, Brett? Look what, you see what I'm holding up, right? This is a smartphone camera. I am not kidding. They took footage of Elden Ring with a fucking camera, a smartphone camera. Shaky ass footage. I couldn't believe this shit. It was incredible. I'm like, are you kidding me? And obviously all the, you know, proper gaming journalists, they fucking dunked on them. You know, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. You know, I almost wrote my own piece, but I'm like, okay, you guys got this shit handled. I'm good.
And you said it was New York Times that did this?
Yeah, New York Times wrote this editorial about how they were mystified why Elden Ring sold so much. And even the language they used, like, you could tell, bro, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about right now. And it's funny because just over the last weekend that passed, there was this conversation among gaming journalists, you know, speaking about legacy outlets like New York Times, like, yo, you guys need to hire some actual real people that know and love games because you guys are looking like a bunch of fucking clowns. And then this shit comes out, proving the point, you know? It's hilarious. And it's just interesting to me how, you know, the New York Times in places like this, they treat games like it's this weird thing that's just for children or whatever. Video games make more money than fucking Hollywood, right? So don't you think you should be treating that with kind of the, you know, like basically treat it like a reporter would? Okay, what's going on here? Let's investigate this. Let's see what's up, you know? And guess what? There are already plenty of fucking reporters who have covered games for their entire careers that you could easily hire, you know? Get me on the New York Times, bro. I'll set those motherfuckers straight, you know?
But it's like you have the New York Times. It's like a multi-billion-dollar company. you can't afford Elgatos or gaming PCs or,
come on now,
you know, anything.
Chris, they, or it, even, I don't think,
or even yeah. just run the stupid, you know, the stupid share, the, you know,
hit,
the, you know, the record, yeah. the recording,
or hit thing. Share play,
hit yeah. share play, trim the clip, upload it, you're done. It's not that fucking hard, you know. But again, but it's not a matter of they can't afford it. I don't think these don't they features exist. Like Elgato, what's that? A cat? You know, like they oh no. It's insane, man. It is insane.
I have a slight confession to make.
Yeah.
Throughout this whole time, I thought Tony was bullshitting, but he's not.
I'm not kidding.
No, he's not. No.
I'm not concerned. This is the New York Times.
Yep.
This is some bullshit.
Yes.
Brian, you see, I'm not making any of this up. They took potato cam footage of Elden Ring. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing, you know.
Tony, they did a Jeezy.
They did. They did a Jeezy. Oh man! And again, just to show you how out of touch these places are, Gene Park, right, who writes for the Washington Post. This guy is a legit gaming journalist. My personal favorite gaming journalist out there. You know what his technical title is? His actual title is sports writer. They don't even have a gaming division over there.
Oh yeah.
You know, he says when he goes to company functions, he goes, "Hi, I'm Gene Park, sports writer." And everybody laughs because they know. He's like, it's the video game guy. You know, it's fucking insane. Absolutely insane. So I'm hoping these outlets get with it. It's like, you guys are acting real fucking old right now. Bunch of boomers, basically. Granted, that is the readership of the New York Times, whatever little readership they have left, you know. I mean, granted, I'm not going to go off on a rant, but granted, the New York Times is a fucking joke of a newspaper to begin with. Fish wrap journalists, as Torrance would call them, you know, but this is just pathetic. Brian, you see that shit? Shaky ass Jeezy footage, bruh. It's insane. It's insane. So what are your thoughts on this, guys?
I'm just still mind boggled by how don't they know that these consoles can at least take footage from the actual system? You know, it's like, again, even if the excuse is, oh, it's on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, like, yeah, but even those consoles can still do it. So it's not like it's a thing, you know? It's like, it's existed for years. Just talk to a YouTuber and ask them, like, hey, you know, can you help me out with this? Like, it's like YouTubers have been doing this for decades. It's just, wow, how?
Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention that they said that the main reason why Elden Ring was so successful is because of the pandemic.
Oh, my God. Oh,
God.
They actually said that.
Everything's the pandemic.
They were like, oh, everybody was locked up at home. They had to play games. Like, you realize this was March, right? Pandemic was already pretty much done at that point. Everybody was back at work. They were going out. Like, and again, if you just did basic fucking research, you would see, oh, this series has been going up and up and up for the last 11 years. Okay, there's the reason.
I love when they can't explain something, it's the pandemic. Because I was hearing the same criticism for the success of Sonic 2, was that it was because of the pandemic. I'm like, how does that make any sense?
How did Sonic 1 do well? Because that was before the pandemic.
Right? Yeah, but no, now they're saying that the second movie is because of the pandemic. I'm like, wouldn't people not go to the theater then? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I'm reading an article right now from Inverse, and they're ripping the New York Times apart, too.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to read an excerpt from this. So they go, this part is from New York Times. It's difficult to imagine Elden Ring having this sort of cultural cachet in any other era. That's what New York Times said. So the Inverse writer goes, where to begin? where to begin? Elden Ring was the most anticipated game in the known universe for roughly 2 years. That's partly because of the formidable reputation of Dark Souls and also due to the much ballyhooed, if totally vague, creative contributions of George R.R. Martin, whose Song of Ice and Fire novels inspired HBO's Game of Thrones. This was never a niche endeavor or happy accident. Elden Ring could have gotten middling reviews and still sold a bazillion copies. Cyberpunk 2077, the industry's most spectacular bomb in recent memory, has sold more than 17 million copies since 2020. Very true. Instead, Elden Ring exceeded sky-high critical expectations and sold more than 12 million copies in just 17 days in its February launch. What's more, Elden Ring has has an accomplished a very rare feat that only a few games, usually made once by Nintendo, ever managed. It crossed over, appealing to quote unquote normal people in mainstream culture. Everyone's talking about it. The people can't get enough. This is true. Regular people. The New York Times is talking about it. You know? Oh my God. But yeah, it's embarrassing. It was embarrassing. And I'm seeing equally embarrassing takes out there. If you guys saw my Twitter today, I was doing a bunch of really ridiculous headlines just based off of this. Somebody literally said, Elden Ring. They said crypto is as enduring as Elden Ring. Some shit like that. I was like, okay, here we go. So we're just taking things that are just trending on Google and just making headlines out of them now, you know? You know, so I started going crazy, you know, how Elden Ring will Smith the industry. Elon Musk and Elden Ring, what's the connection? You may as well, dude. How out of touch are these fucking people, you know? And again, you have people, I'm sorry, I gotta say it.
Do it.
You got people like me, right, out there that know this shit intimately, right? Hire us. We'll set you right, you know? It's absolutely insane, you know.
Hire Jagon.
Yeah, Jagon. He likes to play with dragons. Oh, he said that too. Oh, in Elden Ring, I am not kidding when I say this. In Elden Ring, you'll fight a dragon, a dragon. Okay, bro. Okay.
I'm sure he was like, what? I'm sure he was videotaping his son playing the game, or son or just like, hey, can you do the thing? Why is this game so popular?
Well, even their kid would have told them, hey, Dad, you know you can just hit share play, right? Their kid could have told them that.
I can't get it to work with my phone.
Like, I'll do it for you, you know?
Yeah, it has its own button, man.
It literally says share.
I'm just saying, like, it's not like you need to navigate to a menu or anything like that. There's a physical button.
Yeah, it's incredible. Dinosaur media, as I like to call them, you know? It's a problem, man, when it comes to these big... Because now, obviously, you know, some of these big places are getting whiff of it. It's like, oh, video games are big. We should cover them. But instead of looking for people that actually know this shit, just look for people that are in-house that don't know anything. I'm pretty sure they probably have people in-house that know this shit. They're just not hiring them for it, you know? They're letting them do whatever other things they're doing. It's insane. Like, do they treat tech like this? You know they don't, you know? And video game is a tech vertical of a sort. You know, that's a whole other conversation too, you know, but it's like, come on, guys, this is not that difficult. You know, you have professional people who've been doing this for years. You can hire and you're not doing it, you know, and you look like fucking clowns. Anyway, that's my rant. Anything else you guys want to say about this?
I think you pretty much covered it.
I mean, you covered it, man. It's embarrassing. They embarrass themselves.
It's crazy. All right, man. I wish Adam was here. He'd extend this segment for probably 10 minutes. What games have we been playing besides Elden Ring?
Other games?
Yeah, no, apparently there are. It's incredible. Have other games actually come out? I'm being dead serious right now.
Well, Adam was playing Tiny Tina's Wonderland.
Tiny Tina's Wonderland.
Yeah, he was talking about that a couple of shows ago.
He's not playing Elden Ring.
You know, yeah, they don't got Lucha in it. You know.
Well, dragons that look like dinosaurs, and he's not down with that.
Yeah, but no, Elden Ring, continuing the journey. I'm near the end. Again, this is one of those games. Actually, I've never had a game like this where, because usually when I get to when I know I'm near the end of a game, that's where I go into overdrive. I'm like, all right, let's beat this game. Now I'm like, let's hold back a little. Let's see what I've missed, you know. And I keep finding more bonfires everywhere. It's beautiful. So many little places I haven't explored. You know, like yesterday, there's this one spot. I don't know, Chris, Brett, if you've seen this. The only way I could call it is the Eye of Sauron. It's like it inflicts you with madness and shit, right? You go up there So I found the fucking wizards that were conjuring that shit. Ooh, it felt so good to kill them.
They in a tower? Mm-hmm. To climb up? Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, because that thing was fucking kicking my ass. But this time I was beefy enough. It didn't kill me right away. You know, I'm like, all right, let's find this shit, you know? And that was dope. And then, you know, I finally got the Turtle Pope the other day. I was like, look at all this area I've never explored. This is cool, you know? So, yeah, the game is legit, man. I'm surprised it sold so much.
You don't know how did it sell so much?
Yeah. And that's the other thing, too. I'm tired of this fucking, it's a niche series. No, it's fucking not. It hasn't been niche since Bloodborne, you know?
I think that they're...
And even, yeah.
I believe that they're talking about the style of game that it is, but I mean, here's the problem. It's not a niche style of game, or niche style of game. It's that art tends to be derivative of each other, and it, unless upset or interrupted by something going against the status quo, you get sort of an echo chamber slash game of telephone going on. It's how we got the CalArt art style, right? So right now, you have a whole bunch of developers and a whole bunch of people who are not just in the industry, but are seasoned in the industry, have been there for a minute. And the way that they were taught to make video games in school is not the thing that they see right now. And, you know, so it's just, how could this be a thing? This isn't a thing that makes good video games. Like, well, I mean, obviously you're not really stressing the core concept and critical thought around what makes a good user experience. It's just one of those, like, oh, this is how you write. Like, sure, you can know when you write a book what the hero's journey is, and you can tailor a story to that. But if you don't know why you're doing that, then you're really just kind of playing to a formula. And that's why we have so many formulaic things. Why we have things like, you know, like, take Game of Thrones, for instance, right? Game of Thrones got big because, gasp, plot armor doesn't always make everybody fucking happy when it's completely expected. I feel people knew this for a long time. And then we started to write books where people didn't want to kill off the main character. And then people became authors and they'd only read books where you don't kill off the main characters. And that's just kind of a thing you do. Nobody asks why. And the problem becomes when you get something like Game of Thrones that comes along and kills off the main characters and shows you that plot armor isn't a defense, the people who were taught by the numbers sit there and go, well, why do people even like this? Like, you like it when people kill off your main characters? When you like a character and then they just kill them off? Like, that doesn't make any fucking sense. Why would anybody watch this? Well, I'm sorry that you can only view art through the one paradigm that you're experienced with, but the rest of us tend to like a fresh experience every once in a while.
You know what it is? Because I've been thinking about this. I think the better word to use instead of niche, unconventional. I think that's would be a better word. It's unconventional game because, and I'm using this in the context of video games. It is not like a fucking Ubisoft game. You know, that's conventional. This shit is doing something else, right? Because again, the way I see it, I'm like, niche means it's only a couple of motherfuckers that know about it. No, there's millions and millions of people. So I would say it's an unconventional game design, which it obviously is.
No, I agree. Niche kind of implies that there's only so many people that would want to to partake in this. When the actual thing is the opposite, there's only so many people that could produce this. So it is unconventional. But it's not because people don't want to be treated like adults or have some mystery or exploit. Like, fuck, man, like, the basic tenets of exploration and reward are not that hard to figure out. And this game doesn't do it. I mean, I love it, but it doesn't reinvent the wheel here, man.
No, it doesn't.
It just, you know, doesn't necessarily take in all the tropes that you think that you need.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this, too. I really think when people use the word niche for this series, it's their term of derision. You know, they're trying to bring it down because they don't fucking understand it. Yeah, it does.
They're like, I don't like this game.
I'm gonna say it. A bunch of fucking haters. I want to shit on it. I said it there.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
That's what it sounds like to me. A bunch of salty motherfuckers. You don't know how to play the game. You don't understand how this shit works. So you're going to shit on it by calling it niche. You know, some snide fucking remark. You know,
and you want to feel part of the majority. It's you know, you don't want to be like, I'm the only person who doesn't like this. You people want to say like, oh, most people don't like this game. You're the weird one for liking it. Like, well, no, actually, that's not true. Turns out a lot of people like this game. Turns out, weirdly enough, it's not too hard for most people. You know,
Brett, I know you agree with me.
Is this the one that was, you know, why the hell is Elden Ring so popular? Is that the one?
No, this was a different one.
I read another one from CNET that actually was talking very much the same thing. And it was talking, and it basically ascribed to how Dark Souls fan base, unlike people, you know, recommending people games, because they said that 40% of sales come from word of mouth. And they said it's because Dark Souls and Soulsborne fans are a ravenous fan base who are toxic gatekeepers.
Oh my God.
Here we go.
Who integrate difficulty beyond this is a fun game that I like to play into a matter of identity that they then push onto other people.
Oh my God, here we go.
I know, yeah. God forbid I like to play a video game and all of a sudden I'm like, this was really hard, but when I beat it, I felt satisfied. I think that satisfaction is a good thing, I think other people that I know might like feeling this same way. I know it's insane, but I can see it. I can see it.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I did read the CNET one. At least the guy is a gamer. You could tell he's a gamer. He, even though he doesn't understand the popularity, at least he plays games. He used language we understand, you know, not that boomer language that the New York Times used, you know. But I disagree with his premise. I'm going to read what he says. Don't you dare, with the benefit of hindsight, smugly declare that anyone could have seen this coming. We've been saying this shit. It's been recorded on this fucking show before this game came out. Get out of here with that bullshit. We all said it. This game's going to fucking sell. Granted, we didn't say it was going to sell 12 million, but we knew the show was going to be a fucking hit. It's been recorded, you know? Anybody who paid attention would know this shit, you know? And again, and this dude specifically, no shade, come off like a hater, bro. Come off like a hater, you know? And I don't know what's worse, ignorance or hating, you know, or a hatred, you know? Because New York Times is just fucking ignorant as fuck. This guy knows what he's talking about, you know? So it's like, yeah. All right, bro, I don't know.
I'm just here, like, I guess I can understand, like, how could one think that a game with one of the most, you know, undisputed pedigrees in gaming doing something that's basically their opus with the help of one of popular culture's most notable authors. Yeah. Like, I can't see how that could possibly come out as a formula for success.
Oh, God.
Tony. Nobody could have.
Nobody could
have. Don't you sit there and tell me at the benefit of hindsight that you could have.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. Over 10 years of growing popularity, tens of millions of copies sold of various games, the biggest author on earth. No. How did this happen? How did this game become a success? It makes no fucking sense. Come on, bro. Get out of here.
Here's the other thing I thought was funny. If I'm pretty sure, and somebody feel free to prove me wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure if you chart the popularity of Souls games, what you're actually going to see isn't directly, but it's more of an exponential growth than a gradual increase, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I want to go and I want to bring two of my friends kind of definitely fucking applies to this game. So even if, you know, every game somebody just played and they got their friend to play and then that friend got a friend to play, which is kind of how the Soul series has worked for those, you know, for those who have played it, we're like, yeah, that's exactly how it works. But that's not always how a game grows. And so to see this, you might be like, oh, well, it's rising gradually. No, this is rising exponentially. Right?
Sounds like compound interest to me.
It does. Well, the attach rates to these games is fucking insane, man.
Yeah.
Like, they either fall off or they're playing every single iteration of the series. Like, these games have an attach rate so strong that, like, Elden Ring is selling copies of Bloodborne right now.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Brett, you'll find this interesting, right? Because, you know, how they say, oh, these games are so hard. They're insurmountable, right? Our gaming writer, you know, he pointed something out. By the way, Marshall Honoroff, go read our review over at Tom's Guide. Elden Ring, fucking amazing. He pointed something out. You know what the completion rate is for Elden Ring?
Brett? About 10%, isn't it?
No. Okay, actually, let's go back. I'm gonna go back.
7 to 10%, somewhere in there?
I'm going to go back, right? Okay, what do you, the normal completion rate for all games is 25%. Right?
I heard it was closer to 17, but okay.
Okay, but in general, 25% for all games, right? What do you think the percentage is for this series?
Upwards of 60?
No, it's actually exactly the same, 25%.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and his point is, and I agree, it's like, if these games were so difficult, then how come people are beating them at the same rate they beat every other game?
I actually came across something similar, and I think it must have been platinum. I think it was the average platinum. 17% of the fan base actually usually platinums the game, and they found that in Souls games it was 10%. So
yeah.
while there was a difference, it wasn't enough that, like, oh my God, nobody finishes these games kind of thing. So
yeah. No, but yeah, we're just talking in general, but the point is, and this is something I wanted to say before, right? And I'm not saying this because I'm the greatest gamer. I'm not. These games are not hard. They're challenging. There's a difference. They're challenging. The game actively tells you how to play it. If you pay attention, you will succeed, right? The problem is a lot of people don't, because, you know, the games nowadays, they just have, like Ubisoft, everything's on the map, right? They tell you every single little thing. This game does it in subtle ways, right? like when I was fighting, you know, those big giants in the beginning, right? Like, oh, this guy's always stomping with his left foot. Let me attack his right. The game doesn't tell you that. You just got to figure it out. These games are not hard. They're just challenging, you know, and it challenges you to figure out what it's trying to tell you so you can overcome that challenge, right? Hence why the games are being beaten on the same rate as any other game. They're no different. They're no different. They were harder. The completion rate would be in the low fucking, in the, you know, in single digits. They're not. 25%, you know, so I'll buck that too. You know, so we debunked the niche bullshit. We debunked the difficulty, you know, but again, these people won't see it. The mainstream media won't see it. And proper gaming journalists, I just hate on this series, will not acknowledge it. They know it, though. They know it, but they don't want to say nothing. You know, it's very interesting.
I think what's important, though, is this is what you can't put back in the box. The discussion has been started. There has always been discussion on Souls games. And, you know, they want to claim accessibility, but we're not even going to get into the accessibility part. But, like, in terms of general audience appeal, that has been definitively put down. The idea that people don't want this kind of thing cannot be brought up again. It's clear people do want this kind of thing. And as much as they want to say it's a niche experience, it's not. So now, hopefully, we're going to start having a discussion of, like, well, what made this game so successful? And I'm hoping that we can actually figure out things in the design that other games can replicate successfully, and not just, well, I'm going to make everything gray and not give you a tutorial. Bitch, that's not how this works.
Yeah, don't take that lesson. By the way, one sub said, thank you. He perfectly said it. Games from Nintendo were hard. Elden Ring is challenging. Yep, there you go. Remember those old-ass NES games? Those things were hard as fuck. You know, they weren't fair at all. They beat your ass all day, every day, you know?
Well, there's two things. I mean, one, you have to be able to accept that dying is a process of learning. Failure is a part of learning, right? And that's not something we don't let people fail because they might feel bad and walk away, right? Like, I think people are kind of learning, like, satisfaction kind of trumps that a little bit. Also, they are challenging, but also in the sense of you have to pay attention. You cannot sleepwalk through a Souls game. Fuck, you can barely play it sleepy, right? Like, you actually, like, you have to pay attention to, like, oh, like you said, he's stomping with his right foot. I wonder what happens if I go to his left, or this is his moveset, or this is how quick these guys move, or, hey, is there a path over there? Like, it challenges you to pay attention, which I feel like should be the bare minimum a video game should honestly do.
You're right. Yeah. Oh, but also with that giant, it's like, oh, why is he always covering his face? What happens if I attack his face? That's his weak spot. The game's telling you. It's blatantly telling you. You know, come on, guys. By the way, Brett, you're 100% right. There was one time I came home from work, tired as fuck. I wanted to play Elden Ring, but I already knew what would happen. Like, nope, I don't have the energy for this. You know, you got to pay attention. You have to be on top of your game. And I think that's a good thing, because when you beat something that was challenging in this game, you don't get that feeling anywhere else, man. You really don't. You know, because I'm going to use it as an example. I'm going to say, I know I'm going to get some hate for this. Fucking Returnal, right? When you beat a boss in that game, you don't feel good about it. You're just like, thank God this fucking shit is over. You know, when you beat a boss in Souls, you're ready to celebrate, ready to go to the bar, you know?
Right. Tell stories. Palm sweating. You're like, yes.
Exactly.
You're climb up on your roof and just be like, yeah.
You know, scare the fucking neighbors. Oh, he beat another soul. He beat another one. He beat another one. God damn it.
That's why you can't have rooftop parties with Souls games. Like, guys, screaming like a maniac again.
Yeah. Well, it's gonna happen.
Put your shirt on.
Yeah, well, it's going to happen when people get their Steam decks, right? Rooftop parties all day, every day. Oh, man. With Elden Ring. So hopefully, you know, we do get like a change of the tide a little bit, because again, these publications are fucking embarrassing themselves, both legacy ones and proper gaming sites that don't want to acknowledge that this shit is real. You know, this is not a niche thing. This is mainstream. This is selling Call of Duty numbers. You're going to tell me it's niche? Come on now. And I'm not saying, oh, it's selling Call of Duty numbers under these specific niches. No, it's legit selling Call of Duty numbers. Come on, man. Get out of here with that bullshit. Yeah, exactly. Remember when you beat Margaret the first time, man? You feel good. You feel good. It's crazy. All right, man. What else have we been playing?
Nah, man. Y'all are playing Elden Ring, and I haven't played anything in a few months. So
you may go play that in your automatons.
Ah, man, when I get the time. Right now, I'm in development. Can't talk about what, but you know,
yeah,
is what it is.
Well, I mean, you did talk about something, right?
No, I can't talk about what I am developing, but
yeah. Obviously, but I mean, you did talk about the development thing, right?
Yes, because
I'm being vague as fuck right now, just in case.
Because our studio said that they openly said that they hired me and a few other artists. So yes,
good
working
stuff.
Working on something.
Yeah, working on something. There you go. You know, all right, man. I think we're done here, man. So Manny, can you plug anything?
As of now, I don't have anything to plug as of yet because these things haven't actually dropped yet. But stay tuned as always. And, you know, I have a few covers that I've worked on and a few other things. So, you know, stay tuned. Yeah,
good stuff. Carlos, is there anything going on with Walking Dead? I'm Negan.
No, we are on break. Well, actually, I don't know. I think Adam and Rich are going to be covering Fear the Walking Dead. If you guys want to check that out, that's on I Am Negan on thecoalition.com, The Coalition on YouTube, or, you know, go to your podcast sites or Spotify, all those. Check out I Am Negan, and you can find it there if you guys are interested in Fear the Walking Dead, the nuke.
Oh, man. Chris, you didn't do any more, like, Morbius post-mortem shit, did you?
Oh, God, no. Oh, it's ironic. It's about a vampire, and I was like, "This movie is cold and dead, just like this motherfucking main character."
Well, he's a living vampire, though.
Yeah, I know, but oh god, the movie was so bad. Matt Smith, I swear to God, I heard other people say this, but I said it first. You could go to the fucking podcast and do it with Data. I was like, why does it seem like somebody gave him like a pound of cocaine and said, like, can you just do Doctor Who? But like hyper Doctor Who, and then he became that.
Wow. You know, if I was like reviewing this movie, I'd use the most fucking pedantic headline ever. Morbius sucks. I just call it that. Logic Win says, Throwdown, thank you for these shows every week. Always entertaining. Hey, man, that's awesome. That's what we try to do, you know?
Know what it is.
You know what it is. It's the Throwdown show. All right, man, so we're out here, so make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter and join the Discord, where it's always hopping and where we get all of our news. So always thank you guys for that. Again, every Thursday I'm like, what's going on, you know, see what's happening. I don't know what's going on. They got Lucha. All right. You can find us on every podcast app on earth, your favorite podcast. We're on it, podcast app, Throwdown Show, two words, Throwdown Show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you're on YouTube and you enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our YouTube premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Still at the stage where every time I wake up, I expect to wake up in New York, and I don't.
Yeah, you don't hear sirens anymore, man. You know?
I don't hear the sirens. I don't hear any of that.
Hey, yo, what's going on?
Man, I'll beat your fucking ass.
Hey,
people.
All right, Brett Murdoch.
It's for real, people.
And Brian Manjoma.
Who knows? Maybe this time next week, Elon Musk will own Microsoft.
No. Oh, my God.
Oh, man, he could own Throwdown, you know? He's crazy. All right, people, we'll see you on Sunday. Peace out.
Later, guys.
Latest.